This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
نستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. وأشهد أن محمدًا عبد الله ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد, always we begin with the praise of Allah. We send our prayers of peace upon our Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We testify that there is none that is worthy of worship but Allah Azza wa Jal, and that our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his worshipping slave and final messenger. I continue to remind myself and you of taqwallah, and I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increases us in our love of him, our fear of him, and our hope in his mercy. Allahumma ameen. Today inshallah I wanted to complete the third part of our belief and understanding of taqwa, which is to love Allah, to be fearful of Allah, but also to have a great hope in the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal. And sometimes as young men and women, those of you with us here in primary and high school, and even those of us as teachers and as elders amongst you, one of the things that at times we forget is that it doesn't matter how far we may stray or walk away from the path, that our return to Allah, if it is genuine in our heart, and if we want to become better than what we were previously, is assured in Allah accepting it and accepting us. And that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who says to us, إِنَّ رَحْمَتِي وَسِعَتْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ, that my mercy is greater than all things. And any mistake and any sin that I have or you have, it is one of those things that Allah's mercy is greater than it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who tells us in Surah Az-Zumar, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. Say to them, O my servants, and Allah will still call you His servant, still call you a believer, still look at you with love, even though you may have committed something that is egregious and haram and sinful. That Allah still sees you as one of those who is worthy of His forgiveness. لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. Even if you have wronged yourself, wronged others, done what's wrong, don't ever despair in my mercy and in my forgiveness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who says, and the Prophet ﷺ quotes, he says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ya Abdi, O my servant, O my slave, if you were to fill the heavens and the earth with sins, ثُمَّ اسْتَغْفَرْتَنِي غَفَرْتُ لَكَ وَلَا أُبَالِي, and you were to ask me genuinely for forgiveness and repent to me, return to me, ask me to be of those who forgive you and guide you to that which is better, I will accept it from you, even though you have committed the sins that are great and that fill the horizon. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who waits for us in the day and in the night to simply ask Him for forgiveness. And I want it to be something in your heart that you feel the value of redemption. Whether it's a mistake that you do academically, maybe there's studies that you fail to complete, whether it's a mistake that you have between you and Allah spiritually, Salatul Fajr this morning was incomplete and not fulfilled, whether it's something that's emotional in your heart towards another person, and it could have been envy or anger or hostility, and it's something you didn't say or do, but in your heart there's this hardness and anger towards another, whether it's a physical mistake, something that you've taken or seen or heard or said or did to another. There is nothing that is beyond the forgiveness of Allah if you take the steps to reform. And I want you to know that you and I are worthy of Allah's attention. You and I are worthy of Allah answering our dua. And you and I, if we just simply ask, we will find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is willing to answer. One of the things that I wanted to tie with this discussion is the importance of wudu. One of our teachers, she sent me an email and she said, "Sheikh Yahya, I want you to give a general reminder again about the importance of wudu." And one of the things that I think as Muslims we fail or forget is that it's the small things that we do that can have the greatest changes in our life if we are consistent in them and if we have the right spirit. And I wanted to share with you some of the virtues of wudu that give us hope in Allah cleansing us and protecting us. I shared with you the Prophet ﷺ said to us that of the greatest things that a person can do in their life is to be regular and consistent in making wudu. The Prophet ﷺ says in the hadith of Imam Muslim, "La yudawimu ala al-wudu'i illa mu'min." No one will be regularly making wudu unless they're a true believer. So I want you to think with yourself now, how often you make wudu, and I want you to know that wudu is not just attached to salah or to reading Quran. That wudu as an independent act of worship for no other purpose than just to cleanse yourself and make wudu, that action is one that results in Allah's forgiveness and Allah increasing your belief and iman. It is only Muslims who make wudu. There's no other person on the face of the earth who does the ritual of washing their hands and gargling their mouth and cleansing their nose and washing their face and washing their arms up to their elbows and moving water over their hair and cleansing their ears and their neck and washing their feet. Nobody does that except those who have a belief in Allah, which also means that no one intentionally misses it unless their belief in Allah is incomplete and is lacking. One of the greatest sins that a person can do is al-i'tida, is to do an act of vile behavior in that which Allah has asked us to do something better. Of the greatest sins is that somebody would stand in front of Allah knowing that Allah commanded wudu before their salah and having no valid justification. It's not that they forgot, it's not that they don't know how, it's that they stood in front of Allah for prayer unclean. Cleanliness for us as Muslims is of two levels. There's the cleansing that Allah asks of us, and that's where the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that at-tuhru at-tahara shutru al-iman, half of your faith shows in your cleansing. And that moment and that statement of tahara, it's actually in reference to wudu. Half of your faith is making wudu, because it is the five prayers that are fulfilled only if you're in the state of wudu. And there is no belief in the heart of a person who does not fulfill their prayer in Allah that can be completely describing them as a believer and as a Muslim. And the Prophet ﷺ said, "Al-ahdu alladhi baynana wa baynahumus salah." What separates us from unbelievers, non-Muslims, is that we are committed to our prayer. The Prophet ﷺ taught us that when a person makes wudu, that from beneath even their fingernails as they wash their hands, their sins begin to fall. When they wash their face, even from beneath their eyelashes, their sins begin to fall. That when they gurgle their mouth, from their tongue, any lies or gossip or innuendo begins to fall. If their heart was attached, seeking forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That even from every part of your hair, every strand of it, your sins begin to be removed because of your wudu. The Prophet ﷺ taught us to make wudu in some of the strangest times and places. The Prophet ﷺ, even though it's a weak hadith, although the ulama agree it's a correct understanding, that if a person finds himself overcome with anger, and you find yourself, I'm not feeling well, I'm feeling upset, that one of the first and best things to do is to get up, walk away, and make wudu, even though you may not pray. Although there is no hadith of the Prophet ﷺ authentically reported where he says that you cannot read Quran unless you make wudu, it is the standard convention amongst Muslims that we don't want to read the Quran just for the joy of its worship unless we honor the Book of Allah with making wudu first. The Prophet ﷺ teaches us that wudu is one of the reasons He will recognize us on the Day of Judgment. And I want you to think of that Day of Judgment where the Prophet describes it as a day of darkness. And Allah describes it as Yawmul Hasra, the day where everyone will be carrying regret on something wrong they said or they did. And in that darkness, in that heat, in that silence, where nobody could say a word or move an inch without the command of Allah, where you are driven to where you're going to be by the angels, either angels of mercy or angels of punishment, where everyone in that moment is looking and they're searching for their Nabi. There's Muhammad ﷺ, there's Ibrahim, who are carried on pulpits of light for others to see them. And you're going to want to be near Muhammad ﷺ. But it's not your choice. And unless the Prophet ﷺ recognizes you and says, he is from my ummah, you will not be brought close. You will not be given relief. You will be left amongst those who are in the punishment of that day. And Allah describes it. He describes those who claimed Islam, but who were hypocrites in their action. In Surah Al-Hadid, Allah says that on that day there will be groups of people who know each other. وَضُرِبَ بَيْنَهُمْ بِسُورٍ And a barrier will separate them. بَاطِنُهُ فِيهِ الرَّحْمَةِ On the inside is Allah's mercy, is Allah's light, is Allah's forgiveness, is the rank and the place of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَظَاهِرُهُ مِنْ قِبَلِهِ الْعَذَابِ Outside is the punishment of Allah. يُنَادُونَهُمْ أَلَمْ نَكُمْ مَعَكُمْ People on that day will call those inside and say, Hey, I used to be your friend, I used to be with you. We went to the same school, we stood in the same line for prayer, we did everything together. أَلَمْ نَكُمْ مَعَكُمْ Wasn't I with you? Tell the angels to let me in. قَالُوا بَلَى Yes. وَلَكِنَّكُمْ ظَلَمْتُمْ أَنفُسَكُمْ Yeah, you used to be with us in body, but you used to wrong yourself. You used to fake, and you used to be treacherous. And your heart wasn't in it. You walked with us and talked with us and sat with us and even prayed with us. But you were not one of us. What will save you at that moment is that the Prophet ﷺ said that I will recognize you on that day in the darkness from the light that will shine from your places of wudu. My arm, my hair, my face, my feet, they will have this light. And in some narrations, the Prophet says on a sirat that for some people, their iman was so weak, their wudu was so weak, the only light they will have, it's almost as if the tip of their thumb will turn on and then off. And it'll be in pitch dark. And they will say, oh Allah, give me that light again. And then it'll turn on again for a second. And they'll see and they'll be hoping for the mercy. And then off. And if that's all you have and the Prophet sees you, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from a distance, he says to the angels, bring them to me. I will know you from your marking of wudu. Don't ever underestimate the virtue of wudu. I leave you with this hadith before Jilsatul Istiraha. The Prophet ﷺ said, لَوْلَا أَنْ أَشَاقُ عَلَىٰ أُمَّتِي. If I didn't know that it would be difficult, I would have ordered you to make a fresh wudu for every salah. But of the mercy of Allah is that between maybe Dhuhr and Asr or Jumu'ah and Asr, you might not break your wudu, so you don't have to make a new one. But if you do, then it's light upon light. The ulama, they teach us, it's like you put light on your body and you added more light. Wudu with wudu is light upon light. It's better for you if you only knew. I want you to think of the dua that we hear, that we say as we finish our wudu. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Allahumma ja'alni min at-tawwabin wa ja'alni min al-mutatahirin. May Allah make us of those who return to Allah and those who are cleansed before Allah on account of our wudu and salah. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله العظيم لي ولكم فاستغفروا ربكم إنه كان غفارا. استغفر الله العظيم الذي حي القيوم وأتوب إليه. إلهي صل على محمد. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وبعد. بلال رضي الله عنه is a beautiful example in our history as Muslims. Bilal رضي الله عنه is one of the first people to accept Islam in Mecca. And when he became a Muslim, some of the rich people of Mecca began to abuse him because they had power of ownership over him. And they used to hurl stones at him. They used to hurt him and hurt his body in different ways, trying to make him leave off faith. And one day, the Prophet ﷺ, many years later, he had a dream. And the dreams of the prophets of God, of the Anbiya of Allah, and the messengers of Allah, are all of them truth and reality. So when we say the Prophet saw a vision, he didn't see something that's not real. He said, Ya Bilal, ra'aytuka, I saw you last night. It's as if I saw you in real life, but I saw your future. That you were walking a few feet ahead of me in Jannah. I didn't see you, ولكن I heard your footsteps. Bilal radiallahu anhu, because he was abused, they had broken his bones and other parts, he used to walk with a gait or a limp. So he used to shuffle as he was walking. So even though you might not see Bilal, if he was walking downstairs in our musalla and you heard his footstep, you could recognize that that pattern of sound, how his feet shuffled, that's the sound of Bilal. So the Prophet ﷺ said, oh, you were ahead in Jannah. I couldn't see you, but I could hear your footsteps in it. Bilal, what do you do that has given you such a place in your future that you will be so far ahead in Jannah? Bilal radiallahu anhu doesn't say, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I'm the first one to make adhan in Mecca on the Kaaba. He doesn't say, O Messenger of Allah, I'm your mu'adhin in al-Madina. I'm the one who wakes you up for every Fajr prayer. He doesn't say, I was hurt and tortured on account of accepting Islam. He doesn't say that there isn't a battle that was fought except I stood next to you. He doesn't say any of that. The only thing Bilal thinks that it's so significant, so powerful, that it can give him a place in Jannah, is he says, O Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whenever I break my wudu, I hurry to make a new one, and if I'm able to pray two rak'ah, I do so. That's it. Bilal, the Prophet said, Fahiyya, this is probably the reason. It's not that I make adhan for you every prayer, O Messenger of Allah. It's not that I'm your companion. I'm the one who was hurt in your way. It's that simply, O Messenger of Allah, I've made my life one of purity. Why is that so important? Because the Prophet ﷺ said, Al-wudu, in one of the narrations, it is an action that is kafara. It is a removal of your sins. My dear young brother, young sister, take your wudu serious. Take your hope in Allah serious. Do the little things that are regular in our day-to-day life, hoping for Allah to protect us and to cleanse us and to assist us. And I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you the khair and the love of Him and the shafa'ah, the recognition of His Prophet ﷺ on the Day of Judgment in that darkness, that we may enter into the light and the mercy of Allah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect you and guide you and lead you and assist you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect our staff and our students, our parents and our teachers. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lead our principal and our administrators to that which is pleasing to Him. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send His choicest and completest blessings of peace upon our Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Inna Allah wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala al-Nabi. يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم وزد وبارك على عبدك ورسولك محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم قوموا لصلاتكم غفر